The 5 Leadership Questions podcast is brought to you by Lifeway Leadership. Try our free app, available on all mobile platforms, for daily leadership content including blogs, webinars, and more. Visit myleadershippipeline.com/app or search Lifeway Leadership in your preferred app store. Now, enjoy the podcast. Hey, and welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I am your host, Barnabas Piper, here with Todd Adkins.
What?
Todd is the Director of Leadership here at Lifeway Christian Resources. If you're a new listener, you won't know that. If you're a regular listener, that's all very familiar to you. We are also here with Kevin Spratt, our...
He's the grand poobah.
Our trusted teammate on the leadership team.
Yo.
Everything.
Yo. Kevin's coming low-key today.
President of the Todd Adkins Make-A-Wish Foundation.
That's right. Todd makes wishes. Kevin brings them to pass.
Boppity. Boo.
Boom is what I'd like to say.
Todd, we should just start calling you the fairy godmother of the leadership team.
That would be awesome.
I don't want to be a fairy. Thanks.
No, him. Yeah. You're good. You have a title. Todd's the fairy godmother.
Father.
That's right. I mean, well, you always call Eric Geiger boss daddy.
Yep. That's true.
And Dr. Rainer's who boss man.
Boss man or big boss daddy.
Or big boss daddy.
Big
and
boss
so
daddy.
You are fairy godmother of leadership. Right. Nonsense aside, we are going to try to say a helpful thing or three today, maybe 5. We are talking about how to interview well as the one being interviewed. So we've done a podcast before about how to interview others well. So what kind of questions to ask, those kind of things. We're flipping the script. You are now the one being interviewed, going in for a new position. And how do we do that well? So we have 5 very practical questions. Well, 4 practical questions and then our first one, which is, what is your funniest or worst interview experience? So... it's open-ended, guys.
I don't have anything that really doesn't end in me finding $5 at the end of the story.
I mean, and then I found $5.
And then I found $5.
You're supposed to wait till the end that if you say something interesting.
I realize that. I'm not going to say anything. I don't know
you're not going to say anything interesting?
Why are you here?
Why? Exactly. Why do I
please
exist?
Listeners, don't
please,
tune out now.
Todd, turn out yet.
Do you have anything interesting to say, Todd?
Well, I'm trying to think of funniest or worst. I'm going to have to go with worst interviews that I've partaken in. Weren't really interviews at all. It was, hey, we're going to fly you here. We're going to hang out, and I want you to meet some people and all that. But they weren't really interviews. I mean, I felt like I was interviewing them. I did not feel like they were interviewing me.
So no formal sit down, walk you through questions, ask you what your greatest strengths and weaknesses are, those kinds of things?
No, but it was really like they didn't even know what they wanted. And a lot of times I think that's the case because churches are notorious for not having a clear job description or clear objectives sometimes for the people that they employ. If you give people the opportunity, they will fill their schedule. They will necessitate their own existence, but it's much better to be, you know, intentionally set that out before them and tell them, hey, here's your job, here's your responsibilities, here's what you need to do, here's the things you need to accomplish and execute. Now, of course, you have the freedom to do that in your own way, or at least I would give people the freedom to do that in your own way, but here's kind of the expectation.
It's like somebody saying, if I hear you right, it's almost like somebody saying, we're going to let the job description fit you. Is this a place you want to be? So I kind of look at that and go, yeah, I mean, I see the overall goal. Put too many eggs in one basket and kind of say, all right, you're going to do all of these things, but really it's up to your... Yeah, I could totally see that. Where I go is the nerdiest interview that I've ever participated in, and it was me participating in it. And it's the first time I ever had a real job interview. I was in high school, and I was interviewing for a camp, and I had a sweater vest on and khakis.
we call that the Baptist uniform.
And khakis, and I brought in this missionary.
Were they pleated?
They were dockers. They were probably pleated. And I brought in this really large photo album of my recent mission journey and was like, you should hire me. And they didn't hire me. So, and then I found $5 afterwards, which made it all better. So
that was before Instagram. You could have just...
The sweater vest. Man, it was pre-denim shirts. So.
You know what? You should have worn something under the sweater vest.
I'm pretty sure I had a turtleneck.
That's right. They thought you were literally the cable guy. A turtleneck under it. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How could they not hire you?
I know, right? So.
I think my funniest interview experience was actually when I applied to work here.
Oh, great.
Because in two parts, one involving the fairy godmother of leadership over here and the other involving the illustrious Ed Stetzer.
Illustrious. I don't know if that means that word.
Let's go.
You know, take it how you will. It just means there are illustrations of. So, the
evocative.
So I made the connection to Lifeway through somebody who worked on Ed's team at the time, and so.
No, but we had met before.
Yes,
that.
but I saw this person post about a job, so I contacted him directly and said, "Hey," and then he connected me to you. But in the meantime, Ed had gotten involved in the process, and. And Ed decided he needed to have a lengthy phone conversation with me to see if I was hireable. And one of his questions was, well, one thing I really need to know is, like, could I fire you? I was like, well, you're the VP, and I would be the one being hired, so I'm going to assume so.
Yeah, but you don't even work in his division. I still don't understand how this happened.
This is, well, you've met the illustrious Dr. Stetzer.
This is true.
But he, you know... if a conversation is had with somebody he knows, there's a good chance that he's involved.
Well, yeah, he was following up and looking out for the organization as a whole.
But what he really wanted to know is if my father would cause issues if I needed to be let go with cause.
Okay.
And so would Dr. John Piper come after Lifeway publicly? Because at the time, one of Ed's responsibilities was making sure that he knew which communication threats there were against Lifeway and who was being publicly critical.
He was trying to make sure that there wouldn't be any.
So I found that very funny because I have been fired from a job in the past, and that person didn't seem to have any issues letting me go, and I deserved it. Then I get to the part of the interview where I'm talking to the fairy godmother, and instead of selling me the job, Todd tried really hard to convince me not to take it.
That is a frequent tactic.
He is like, here's all of the reasons this is a high risk. Like, all, you know, have you considered this and this and this and this? And it was just like negativity pouring on. Now, to be fair, you were also like, we have a great team. And I think there was two of you at the time, three of you at the time. So it was a very small team. But
still great. Still those three people.
They're still around.
It was the first time I had come into a job interview where somebody was like, you know what you're walking into, right? Like, this is not all, you know, puppies and flowers and rainbows and unicorns over here. So that was I found that amusing. But at the same time, being a fairly – I try to be realistic, and I tend to be somewhat curmudgeonly myself. I really
pessimistic is the word I would use.
I'm not pessimistic.
I'm not a curmudgeon.
No, I am. He's talking about me. I'm not pessimistic. Pessimists always find the downside in everything. Realists realize that there is an upside and a downside in most things. I was appreciative of the fact that I was not – like, I didn't have to try to cut through the crap myself to be like, what's actually going on here?
Yeah.
Todd was like, actually
– here's the crap.
Here are the challenges that we face as a tiny team trying to start something that's never been done before in Lifeway and different direction and all this stuff. How does that sound to you? It sounds like a big challenge, but thank you for making it very clear.
Well, I mean, it sets up the conversation. It sets up the type of person that you want. So – that interview, that style of interviewing, of trying to scare them to death, really is going to weed out somebody who just wants a job. The last thing in the world I need on my team is somebody who just wants a job. The last thing that you need at your church is somebody who just wants a job. So, man, cast a compelling vision. For all the reasons why to be there.
It's so compelling to be like, here's all the reasons not to be here.
No, but cast it. You didn't let me finish, curmudgeon. Cast that compelling vision for why, you know, somebody wants to go into the fray with you. But if it's not a really big thing, I mean, part of what we're trying to do is change church practice, for crying out loud. That's not an easy thing.
Right.
It's not for the faint of heart.
Also starting a digital and online-based product
in a company. 120-year-old publishing house.
Yeah, in a company that has long been paper publishing.
Yeah.
I mean, for literally a century and a quarter up to that point. So I will say this. While it was funny at the time, it did help me walk in and I did not fly blind into the challenges that we faced in my first year. year and a half here, which were substantial. And if I had come in thinking it was going to be just a breeze, I would have been somewhat
shocked.
I think
goes into the first question, which is what is the one thing a person should absolutely must do to be—
That's the second question.
Whatever, second question.
The first real question. The first helpful question.
Which is, like, be prepared. Like, if you're going out and you're job hunting, or even if somebody's approached you with a job opportunity, it's— first question is, for yourself really, is, are you ready to leave wherever you're at? I mean, are you— really evaluate, like, have you accomplished everything the Lord has set you out to do in that job position that you're currently in? But then secondly, really being ready to go in and know more, as much as you can, about the organization you're interviewing with before you even get there. I mean, to say, hey, for Todd to even be interviewing Barnabas, I think— I don't know whether Barnabas did this or not, but I mean, what is Ministry Grid? What is this idea? Can you find out anything else about it? You know, what's Lifeway's history with technology? What's Lifeway's history with training? I mean, all of those things. So if you're in a pastor's position, you know, what's this church's history? What's their numbers? Is there anywhere that you can go, anybody else in your network of friends that you can reach out to and say, hey, this church has asked me to do X, Y, and Z. What's their history? What's their job profile? And then kind of walk from there with it.
The part of what's underlying this is, if I'm asking you, you know, a question about what do you know about our organization or whatever, you want to be prepared for that, because I'm asking you— it's not just you're coming to do a job. You're an emissary for my organization.
Right. Right.
I am hiring you as a whole person. And everybody knows in this day and age, with social and everything else, that when you hire someone, when you bring somebody on your team, they better fit with your organization. They better fit with, you know, your brand or your identity, because people are going to associate those two together. This is a unique opportunity to set yourself apart from everybody else. Because while somebody else may be able to regurgitate the mission statement, what you need to do is yes, know the mission statement, but also know how they actually live that out, and identify with a couple of areas that you're really passionate about and can give examples of, hey, you know, I like the way that you do this, or things like that. I think that is how you come in and just crush that knowledge of the organization. Like, I want to be a part of this organization. I know there's a lot I don't know, but I've done my homework.
We recently went through a pastor search process at our church, and the pastor that's in that position now, huge kudos to Kyle in what he did beforehand, in that he backtracked 6 months in sermons and basically listened to the last 6 months of sermons leading up to that moment, just to see where the church was at, to kind of get a beat on the culture and what the pastor was talking about. I mean, there's something to say, number one, about the commitment to that, but also, you know, if you are getting ready to go into a different church scenario, I mean, you'll hear a lot from what the pastor is preaching from the pulpit about what's priorities in the church, but then also what's going on in the church.
Well, I have had, and I think this is a fantastic step for somebody to take before interviewing or even before applying. I've had at least two or three people call me since I started working at Lifeway, just to say, hey, I know you started there in the last few years. I'm considering applying for a job, and I was just wondering if I could ask you some questions about just what the organization's like. So they're not applying on our team. They're not even necessarily applying in the same division, but they want to know a little bit about the organization. And so they made a contact with me. A couple of them I didn't know well at all. It was just sort of online connections, and one of them was a friend. And so, but I thought that was a really smart step, because they are trying to figure out, is it worth it to move their family? Is it worth it to step out of their current job to take this new job? One of them was without a job, and he just wanted to know, is this the right place to really invest? So he was at a place where it would have been very easy to just be like, any job, I just need a job. But he still was doing his homework. And so if and when those people applied, they would have been able to come in with some level of, I'm aware of the culture of the organization, I'm aware of the history, I'm aware of what's going really well, who the leaders are. I mean, if you don't know who's in charge of an organization— I interviewed somebody one time who were applying for a job at a publishing company I worked at. They didn't know who the president of the company was. They didn't know anything about the leadership. And while that's not a necessity, it just it speaks very poorly to your
initiative.
Yeah, and your investment in the in preparation. You didn't take this seriously enough when you came in. I had another one, and I think I may have relayed this on the podcast, where I was interviewing somebody, again, publishing company. And I figure if you're working in publishing, you probably ought to like reading. And so I asked him, what are you reading right now? Just curious. He's like, I don't really read. Sorry, do you know what we do here? Like, this is what this company does? So I think all of those things are just it's not a matter of trying to prepare for questions that will be asked. It's just preparing to be able to converse in the arena they will be asked. So in the arena of ministry, if it's a church, in the arena of culture of the organization, all of those things. So it's just, I mean, I guess the short version is just really do your homework. And the more personal you can get about it, the better. If you know somebody who works there and you can get on the phone and just say, hey, can you fill me in a little bit on how things work and who does what and those kinds of things?
Well, it's doubly strategic for the reason you just said, but then also that person will have somewhat of a vested interest in you actually getting the job.
Right. And awareness is probably the biggest hurdle to overcome, because when we open up a job at a company like Lifeway, we get hundreds of resumes for it. So how do you make yourself be noticed? An advocate really helps. Todd, let's talk a little bit about our sponsor for the Five Leadership Questions podcast.
Let's do.
Our sponsor is Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, SEBTS. We have partnered with them as Lifeway on a lot of different things, from publication to events. We have a number of their graduates who work here. You are considering doing doctoral work there yourself.
Yes, I am.
So, Todd, tell me a little bit about what are some of the key things that stand out to you about Southeastern as a leadership development and training institution?
Okay, so I would say the first thing is their balance of theology and practical ministry is on point.
Yes.
I would say they are very passionate about their Great Commission, and it's not just a passion, it's something that they live out, and it's something that they structure themselves to be able to give people tracks to run on and actually accomplish that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the greatest ways to see that is actually go on Twitter and search for the hashtag I am going, and you'll see hundreds of pictures of people that are going.
Yes.
And where they're going to fulfill the Great Commission.
Yeah, Great Commission and going are big points of emphasis for Southeastern. That is what they seek to do, is equip pastors, theologians, scholars, missionaries, people who are serving as lay leaders in their church. You can do that via distance education, or you can go to their beautiful campus in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Either one is an option. They offer multiple degree programs. All of their MDiv and master's programs are between 80 and 85 credit hours. So that's a condensed program from the traditional. That means you can get it done sooner, or you can do it alongside a job if you're already in ministry, things like that. To learn more, go to sebts.edu/5LQ. That's SEBTS, stands for Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, sebts.edu/5LQ. And if you're considering applying, be sure to use the code 5LQ, not hard to remember, 5LQ, to get a discount on your application. So that could be for master's. They also have an undergrad program on campus there. So 5LQ is a discount that is a code to get you a discount on your application. We appreciate Southeastern's support. Now back to the podcast. All right, let's hit our third question, our second helpful question. What is one thing a person absolutely must do in an interview? So I'm being interviewed. What is a thing I absolutely must do while being interviewed?
I was going to say that I think if they're interviewing well, if the organization that's interviewing, the church or ministry, whatever, that's trying to interview, I think they're looking for three things, essentially. They're looking for character, chemistry, and competence, really, in those orders. I think Truett Cathy in one of his Chick-fil-A books talked about those three things, and that, you know, they're looking at you as a person. So be as honest as you absolutely can in that, and be yourself. Don't oversell yourself. But I think as much as anything else is be the truest part of yourself. But I mean, don't be greasy. Don't oversell. I mean, that's the biggest thing.
Are we talking about hygiene?
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Well, that's like a good start. Yeah, shower, shave, and dress for success. But
yes, never share.
But I think the biggest thing is just being honest.
Sorry.
I mean, you can as an INTJ, I have to watch myself, and I can be honest to a fault and kind of be a jerk and be closed off. But I've got to, I've got to produce, you know, the best that I can of myself in a balanced perspective. Then I think, you know, looking at the chemistry side of that is, you know, what are your strengths and weaknesses? What knowing it kind of goes back in prepping, looking at that church or organization or ministry, and saying, what are your strengths and weaknesses, and being able to say, here are my strengths and weaknesses. This is where I think I could fit here in this organization. Somewhat, not necessarily selling yourself and saying, hey, I really want this job, I need to sell myself into that, but saying, looking at the makeup of who you are, able to say, This is where I think I could fit logically in that.
If an accurate portrayal of yourself does not get you the job, it probably wasn't the job for
you.
You
don't want to be there. Exactly. And then, you know, the last piece of that is competence. And, you know, there are absolutely going to be things that you're going to want to, you know, highlight on a resume or highlight in your conversations of, you know, projects that you've completed and gifts and strengths and abilities. But, you know, you've got to be also, I think what a lot of people fail to do is say, you know, I may not be the greatest at X, Y, or Z, and being honest with them and saying, I might not be able to fill this task, but I can fill these out, and I'm willing to learn to do this new thing that I have no experience in.
I'm just going to say, going back to the first piece of prepare. So it's not only do I know about the organization, I know about the person who's interviewing me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just a quick jaunt down Google Lane will take me to all kinds of resources and places that I can find out about this person. And it's not to be this can slip into manipulation really quickly. You know, finding out their favorite sports team.
That's
or whatever.
Greasy.
That's greasy.
It's
That's
a really effective selling tactic. I've done it before.
Yeah. So, but I'm saying, hey, it's important to be able to make a connection there. And so understanding some of those things about your interviewer can be helpful. I'm not saying, you know, present a version of yourself that's not real. The other piece of that is you may come into contact with other people that, you know, those secondhand or second degree references that might be beneficial to you. So, you know, who are their friends on Facebook? Are they the same as yours on LinkedIn? You know, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
What are those degrees? I mean, there's a reason why LinkedIn does that.
Yeah. LinkedIn is trying to create a professional network and also allowing hundreds of people a week to spam your inbox, which is amazing.
I would say also be sure that you know the questions that you're always going to get asked. Yeah. And have a good answer.
Yeah, especially if it's one that's a challenge for you. So if I have, like I mentioned earlier, I was fired at a job, and so interviewing shortly thereafter was a challenge because everybody wants to know, so what happened? So you have to have an honest answer.
Exactly.
That's not overly revelatory of stuff that's not pertinent, but that is not so closed off that they think you're hiding something. Those kinds of things, like you have to, you know, at almost every interview, well, I avoid asking this question because I think it's a stupid question, but what's your greatest weakness? What's an area of weakness?
Oh.
But you should come with, as Kevin said, an honest answer, not like, oh, I work too
if
hard.
If you tell me
I'm
that
too
your
dedicated.
Strength is your greatest weakness, I'm going to...
I'm not going to give you the job.
No. My strengths are my greatest... I care too much. I work too much.
Sometimes I'm too honest. No, you probably means you're a blunt jerk.
It's best to share a weakness that you are certainly aware of. But it's also good to say, okay, this is a weakness of mine that I'm aware of, and this is how I'm working on
right.
it. I would say the other question that people usually punt or think it's an easy question is somebody asks you to tell them about yourself.
Right.
And, you know, that's one that's like, oh, I don't have to prepare for it. Well, you do.
Yeah.
You do, because if not, you are going to wing it, and you're not going to get
You're not going to give them the pertinent
across.
Information. You're going to ramble. You're going to tell them about your cats. Like, you're going to do something that has... They,
you want to be eloquent.
Tracks,
yeah. You want to be eloquent.
This
in
is
that.
Your elevator
and,
speech.
And concise, yes.
Yeah. Elevator speech.
Where you came from, what got you to where you are,
totally.
And why you're a good fit for the job. And then, you know, you need to have some personal flavor so that you just come, like, you are a human.
Flavor.
I think the one thing a person must do in an interview is interview the people who are interviewing them.
Yes.
You do not go, like... Yeah. Very rarely do you walk into a room with 100% certainty that this is a job that I'm just selling my soul to this job. Most of the time, you have a percentage that you're like, I'm not I'm not totally sure. So you interview them. You gauge how they ask questions. If they ask you a bunch of dumb interview questions, that says something about, like, no, I've worked at a company where, like, it's like a Rorschach test, and, like, it felt like a psychoanalysis, and I walked out and I was like, that's not a job for me. Like, those people are not trying to figure out a fit. They're trying to quantify things, and, like, I don't even know what they're doing. It's just psychobabbly. And if there's no revelation on the side of the person who's interviewing you about the nature of the company, about if they're not willing to answer any tough questions themselves, hey, I read that the company had a down year last year. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Hey, I know that you guys have been through 9 youth pastors recently, and I'm applying for this. Can you tell me anything about, you know, why that might be? If they're not willing to open up a little bit to you, that's telling as well, because honesty is a give and take.
Yeah, because I think you've got to ask the question, why do you need this position? So job descriptions, I think, are huge and key and crucial. But I think at the same time, you've got to be able to look them square in the face and say, this is why I feel like I'm ready to make this jump, or this is what it would take for me to make that jump. Mm-hmm. I mean, the best position to be in any interview segment is in a position where you don't need the job, right? I mean, you know, where I don't need this position. I'm extremely happy where I'm at. But you have somebody, because of your networks and because of the work that you're doing, saying, hey, we really want you to apply for this. So apply for it. That should give you freedom and license to be honest, to be clear, to be honest, and at the same time be like, this is what it's going to take. Is this the kind of environment that I want to be in? And so, to your point, really asking some pointed questions of, all right, look, you know, I'm able to work from home. I'm able to work based on projects, like all the things that we're able to do on our team. Like, giving that up is going to be pretty hard no matter what the amount of money is.
I'll say this. If you don't have questions, it signals that you're either desperate or you don't plan on staying around long.
Yeah,
to me as an employer, if you don't have questions for me,
or you're uninvested, like, you're,
that's what I'm saying. You don't plan on sticking around.
It's very frustrating as an interviewer to have somebody who is testing the waters in an interview. Like, somehow they got to this point in the process, and all they're doing is testing the waters. That interview ought to be cut very short. If they're just like, no, I don't have any questions, just kind of.
You've got to have questions, because the biggest thing, it may be a great organization with a great reputation, but your immediate boss has a greater bearing on your happiness and your career at that organization more than anything else. So it may be a great organization, but if the guy that you're working for,
and you need to know what changes are coming. If you're moving from one organization to another, I mean, Kevin mentioned things like working from home or you know, whatever benefits, whatever, I mean, work styles, these kinds of things. If you're moving from one organization to another, there will be changes in how you work. Some of them are going to be distinctly positive. Some of them are going to be giving something up. You need to know in advance what those are so that there's no unpleasant surprises. So you need to ask about things like work style, work hours. What are the expectations on this? One of the questions that I asked when I came to Lifeway was, you know, I write and I blog and I podcast. Are those things, how does Lifeway feel about people doing those things outside of work? Because if Lifeway had been uncomfortable with me doing anything, you know, like, sorry, we're uncomfortable with you having a public platform or a voice or a face, that would have been a significant hindrance to me.
And sometimes your immediate boss is. I mean, yeah. Because they may be insecure.
I think we're hitting right now on that third question, which is, what is fourth question.
Numbers are hard.
We're a publishing company.
That's right. We do words and letters.
Letters form words. Words form sentences. What is one thing a person must absolutely not do in an interview? Well, and that is not ask great questions. I think not ask great questions, not be invested in that. You know, the other thing that I was going to say is real practical. And I finally thought about the worst interview I ever had.
It wasn't the sweater vest in the photo album?
Well, you know, that was high school. But, like, you know, my very first professional interview was one of those situations where we've kind of talked around it. I didn't have to apply for that job. Somebody asked me to apply for that job. I didn't ask the questions that I should have asked. And what was really awkward about it was that my boss, the guy who I would report to didn't want to hire me, but the guy that was above him wanted to hire me. So that was really that was really awkward and really frustrating.
You're getting wedged into a team that
it's
doesn't
like, no,
want you.
You're going to hire this person.
Yeah, and so the thing that I failed to do, and this is really overly practical, and this is the Five Question Podcast, so I can say this, but like as a guy, first professional job out of the chute, I didn't ask about finances like I should have and didn't do the homework that I should about benefits. Like newly married, jumping into a job that was $24,000 a year, I was like, I could do this. It's not a big deal. They're paying for my health insurance. And then I looked at my check after the first time and I was like, dang, Gina, like $600. Like this is all I got to live on for the next 2 weeks. Next 2 weeks. I mean, that's just.
That's the first Martin reference we've had.
That was strong.
So
well played.
Well, you know, so I look at that and go, don't let the finance question be the first question for sure. But at the same time, but you've got to sit down, look at benefits.
Don't lead with finances, but don't leave without knowing what they are.
And also look at the cost of living in the area. Yep. Look at the schools. Look at everything that you want to look at.
And again, a good organization will have that stuff laid out for you.
I will say, if you're a smaller entity or a church that, is like, oh, we don't have an HR person. You mean I'm supposed to put together a package for people, like, to understand? Yes, but you can use outside people to do that that will more than happily do it. If you have, for instance, you say, because I've been to a church where they said, hey, we have one or two realtors that we really like that really like working. They go to church here. They'll take really good care of you. And they could put me in contact with them. Well, that's what the realtors did. That's what they did was they did that part of, hey, what's your current cost of living? What area of town do you want to live
property
in? Here's
taxes,
where all the schools are. Yeah. They knew all that stuff because the church wasn't big enough to have an HR, to do anything like that. And churches that do have HR sometimes don't do that. I do want to answer this question.
We are answering this question.
We're answering right now. All of us. I thought
what is your
what
next
was what? I doing? What was I doing that wasn't answering the question?
Well, you ask and answer the question, which is
well, then answer the question that's already. Just,
that's something wrong. Not to do in an interview. Good, Todd. What's your suggestion?
My thing is, you're going to get asked about leaving your organization. Why are you leaving?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never run down your current organization.
Yeah.
That's good. That says. Going toxic is not a good look on you. And frankly, it says a lot more about you if you do that than the organization you're coming from.
And
if you have bad
a smart interviewer
to say,
can read between the lines, too. So if you emphasize the positive and you emphasize, the time, why you are pursuing change positively and you avoid saying anything overtly positive about your current organization – but you don't run them down, a good interviewer recognizes that and recognizes, okay, may have been a poor fit, may have been a poor manager, whatever it was. And so you don't have to. An intuitive manager is going
to
pick that
up. It may be just time to move on. I mean, that's the
– Yeah.
Well, you want to frame it in such a way that the new role, better fits your gifting and calling than previous.
Yeah, better opportunity,
position.
Better whatever.
Just don't – it seriously reflects more on you than it does the organization.
Yeah. What is one thing? Don't ever compromise. So, we talked about being desperate earlier. If you talk yourself into a job, you're setting yourself up for failure. So, and that can happen in an interview where you have a nagging question and you're like, I haven't heard them mention this. This seems like a pertinent thing. Finances are a good example. Like, I don't really know how much they're going to pay me, but and just kind of let it go.
If you talk yourself into the job, you can easily be talked out of the job within 6 months.
Let's hit our fifth question, or fourth if Kevin's counting. What are good follow-up steps for the person being interviewed, for an interviewee? So interview is over. They do not offer you the job on the spot, which most places don't. Most places say, we will get back to you in X amount of time. What are good follow-up steps, if any?
I would say follow up with them on the agreed schedule. You don't want to be Penny. Because that looks really, really, really desperate. And people have done that to me. And I'm like, man, I don't want to lead a person like that because I can picture them.
You don't want an intern
door.
Emailing your vice president.
Yes, which has happened.
Hypothetically speaking,
it has happened.
Don't follow up with the person above the person who interviewed you ever. That's not a good idea.
No.
I think another good follow up step is be thankful.
Yeah, be thankful for opportunity.
So if they say, we will get back to you in the next 3 days, and 4 days have lapsed, on that fourth or fifth day, you shoot an email or you give a call and just say, wanted to say thank you for the interview, really appreciated the opportunity, and then you know, express your question of when might I be hearing back.
Yeah, I think the grace period extends. I think if they give you 5 days, regardless of whether they give you 3 days or 5 days or 2 months, like you give them like 48 hours at least
beyond
to circle
their limit.
You give them beyond the limit to follow up.
Yeah, not on
up.
That day, because that
right.
it is a funny look if they say we'll get back to you in a week, and on the yeah. week, like boom, yeah. last day, you're like, it's been a week.
Well,
where's my answer?
I tend to hire slow as well, except for Kevin. Kevin, I went after immediately. But I tend to hire slow otherwise. So it's important to have that cadence and be sure that you understand this person has a family and a spouse that probably has question marks as well, especially if there's going to be moving involved, timing with school and all that. It's important on both sides to have that regular cadence and be sure that everybody's clear on what happens. So I would say within 24 hours – if you've got their cell, you can shoot them a text or an email that just says thank you, and then
no question, just thank you.
Just thank you.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, stick to the cadence, the agreed upon
before
cadence.
You leave. Yeah, that I mean you kind of move up to question two or one, however we did it.
I'm putting numbers on this next time.
Did I hear a
niner?
You
calling from a walkie-talkie?
I think one of the big things you've got to do interviewing is know the cadence, know the schedule, know the timeline. Ask them.
If
they don't know, that's a flare for you, my friend. But then on the other side is just be overly gracious. And, you know, the best thing too for you, if you're sitting and you're kind of waiting, like, this is something that I really wanted, just to be patient on the Lord and wait.
Yes, patience. That is the thing to do as a follow-up, regardless of how you interact.
Yeah.
It is the hardest thing to do when you have put yourself out there, put everything you've got in somebody else's hands, and you are now utterly dependent on them to make a decision. That's not an easy spot to be in. You know, you're stuck in limbo, and you just have to be patient.
Yeah. I would also say when you do leave, be sure that you leave really well. Leave your organization well.
Yeah.
Don't
leave
them. I mean, you know, when you're in the interview process, this is not a time to check out or take advantage of, you know,
if anything,
cash
they should,
out all your vacation.
If anything, they should see an uptick in your work productivity, at least to close things up or to move through things or whatever you've got to do. But
just be sure there's an essential. Be part of your transition plan.
Yeah.
That's one of the things you can do.
And if your organization won't let you, I was at a job like that where I gave them my notice and I was in the process of gathering
all
my files.
Like that.
And this was on it was on a Thursday that I put in my notice, and I expected to be there two more weeks wrapping this stuff up. The guy calls me and he's like, tomorrow's your last day.
Yep, I've been there.
And it was just sort of one of those tyrannical leadership moves where I was like, he didn't like the fact that I had made the call, so he was going to make the call.
He wanted to be in control.
And save, you know, he saved 2 weeks of salary.
Congratulations.
I guess,
you sacrificed a good transition to a new person.
Oh, and I got...
So you could just be in control.
I got calls for the next week from the people I was supposed to be handing stuff off to who were like, where is this stuff? And I'm like, it's all on the computer that they took away from me because they sent me packing. I was trying to get it to you, but no. So transition well. That's a good follow-up step to an interview. And if you don't get the job, you want to stay in a position where you can continue to do your current job well.
Yeah.
So that,
we
and that
do, maybe we should do transitioning well.
I think we've done that, but we'd have to go back and check. Or
no,
at least we've
touched
on it.
I mean, we've done leaving well.
Yeah.
But transitioning well
like steps
could
to
be,
take.
Yeah, it could be even within your own organization, moving from one place to another, whether that's laterally or up chain.
We'll take it under consideration.
All right.
I'll add it to the list. All right, listeners, thanks so much for tuning in again.
I am the fairy god.
The fairy godmother of leadership and Kevin Spratt both appreciate you listening as well. We haven't asked for this in a while. Would you be so kind as to jump on iTunes and leave us a rating and review, preferably a positive one? I'm sure you're already subscribed somewhere. But iTunes is where podcast rankings are driven. That's where people discover podcasts most often. So if you would do that, it helps other people discover the podcast. One other thing, if you go to lifeway.com/leadership, that is our website. That's where we have all the show notes for these podcasts. There is a podcast page there where you can actually submit questions or topic ideas. So lifeway.com/leadership, click on the podcast tab at the top, and you can submit questions or topics for us to discuss. We're regularly looking for them, and we really like to answer questions that you have, because that's obviously the most pertinent thing we can do. So yeah, be sure to do
otherwise
that.
Otherwise, we're going to have to record transitioning well.
That's right, and Todd sounded so enthusiastic. We might just have to do that anyway. But thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate the regularity of it. Thank you for sharing with your friends and on social media. Hit us up. Use the hashtag 5LQ. We keep an eye out for those things. Thanks for listening. Tune in next time. Don't forget to try our free app on your phone or tablet. Just visit myleadershippipeline.com/app or search Lifeway Leadership in your preferred app store.